verse number 12. Peter is preaching and he says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, You'd help us to stand today to preach in the power and the demonstration that only the Holy Spirit can provide. We ask, God, that You'd let us stand with the God-given ability and minister the oracles of God as only You can grant. Father, I pray You'd help us today to be sensitive to Your Spirit. Thank You for the good singing of this morning. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When I was a little fella, young, I didn't go off to many people's friends. Luke, every Sunday, he's wanting to go to somebody's house, or he's wanting somebody to come to his house. That's just the difference between me and Luke. Luke likes the fellowship, and I was kind of a little bit like a loner. But every now and then, I'd take off with one of my buddies that we played ball with or whatever, and they'd had a birthday party, I think, and we went over there for the birthday party, and he had asked me to spend the night. I didn't customarily spend the night at people's houses very much. But I called home and said, "Mom, do you think it'd be all right if I spent the night?" She said, "Sure, you don't never spend the night. That'd be fine, son." And I was a little bit worried, you know, how would I do during the night? Would my parents need to come get me? Would I be afraid? Would I be okay with my new surroundings? And man, we played basketball up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. We just did anything we wanted to do, and we had a big time. Well, when I came home, my parents come and pick me up the next morning, somewhere around 10 o'clock or so, and we went home, and I was a little tired from being up most of the night and frustrated, and my mom had asked me to take a bath or do something, and I sized her. And she can say, this is what she said. She said, "I can tell who you've been around. You're starting to act just like them." You see, my friends, they did kind of size their parents. And we were allowed to just do whatever to whenever. And it was pretty loosey-goosey. And it is a truth that who you hang out with will rub off on you. Some of you mamas ought to say amen because your youngins is sitting close. Amen? Amen. Well, Peter and John had no religious training. The Bible says in verse 13 that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They had no idea about systematic theology, eschatology, apologetics, homiletics, hermeneutics. They didn't know what any of those things meant. They'd just been with Jesus. Now remember, Peter and John are two experienced fishermen. Fishermen at one time fished all night and caught nothing. Another time they went out and got in a storm. They'd been in storms before. And they rowed all night and their boat was ready to sink. They ran to the back of the boat and they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Jesus stood up. Henry rebuked the winds and the waves and said, "Peace, be still." Perfect calm. Peter and John remembered what it was like, especially Peter. He went and chopped off the high priest's servant's ear. He said, "Jesus, I'll follow you to the death." And he denied him 3 times, and the last time he took a cuss fit. John was so timid that when he heard that Jesus was raised up from the dead, that he took off running to the tomb, but he stopped outside it and would not go in and look around to make sure. He was kind of scared and afraid. But now, these men stand with holy boldness and they preach Jesus to the religious leaders, the elect of the religious day. And when they stood and preached Jesus to the religious crowd took knowledge of Peter and John and said, "Those are just two fishermen. unlearned and ignorant. They don't know the law or the customs of the people. Yet they took knowledge of their preaching and their stand. Why? Because they had been with Jesus. Can I ask you a question? Have you been with Jesus? Who you hang out with will rub off on you. I'm glad I've spent some time with Jesus. And I hope that some Jesus has rubbed off on my life and on your life. Amen. When you hang out with Jesus, there are going to be some things happen. First of all, there will be some supernatural works. Look with me in verse number 14. These boys is preaching, verse 14. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. In front of them, they're accusing Peter and John, and in front of the religious leaders, and in front of Peter and John, stands a man that had been lame, crippled, over 40 years old on both his feet, and now the Bible says he's been healed, he's standing there with them, and there's nothing they can say against it. I want to say to you that this man that stands there is the same man that had laid for years outside the house of God begging for alms, pleading for someone to help him. The religious leaders had gone back and forth to the temple time and time and time again and had passed him by. There he lay despondent. There he lay depressed. There he lay with physical needs. There he lay with spiritual needs. They didn't care at all. But one day, two ignorant, unlearned fishermen go to the house of God. The Bible says they went there to pray and they saw that man laying there. And they went over to him and he reached out his tin cup and said, would you give an alms for the needy? Boy, he needs the help of God. Peter and John, they said, I don't know much about healing, but I'm going to tell you what, we've been with Jesus. And they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And Peter, by faith, reached down his hand and took that crippled man and lifted him up. And when he did, the Bible says, immediately his ankle bones received strength. God Almighty, Jesus Himself, provided healing to this man, and he stood up. The Bible then says something strange happened. He began to leap and run through the house of God, praising and having a glorified fit. I want to tell you what, that's a supernatural thing. Those men didn't heal that lame man. It was Jesus. You know, I wonder if Peter and John might have thought, when this was happening, you know what? I remember the time, John, when we were hanging out with Jesus and we were there at the house and we were having a big time. The place was filled and all of a sudden somebody started sawing through the roof and we looked up, never seen anything like it. These four fellas start lowering this guy down on the rope and here he comes right down in the middle of the congregation. We thought we was at a rock concert or something. Till we figured out that that man was paralyzed. And down he came. And he called on Jesus. And Jesus did the unthinkable. He went and healed him. And we saw the man stand up and take up his bed and leave that place shouting and praising God. Hey! John said, hey, I remember that. I was there. You know what else? I was there the time that we went down there to the pool of Bethesda. There was a crippled man laid there too. You remember that, Peter? Yes, I do. Yeah, he had laid there 38 years. You remember what Jesus said to him? How could I ever forget? He said to him, wilt thou be made whole? He said, sir, I have nobody to help me into the water. And Jesus just reached down and did the unthinkable. And he spoke to him. He said, rise up, walk, took him by the hand. And that man jumped up and he said, go and sin no more. You've been made whole. And that man's still running around shouting and testifying today. Hey, I remember what Jesus did. There's at least two cripples that Jesus healed. And when they looked down and seen that man laying there, they said, this ain't nothing for Jesus.
Listen what Jesus told us, John. Listen. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. What? He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. He said, we've been hanging out with Jesus, and Jesus said, if we believe and observe his works, God would bless us to do the same. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Whoop! And he took off shouting and praising God. You can't deny that that was a supernatural word. Now, they took them, Peter and John, and arrested them. They didn't like that man shouting in the temple. A bunch of people started getting saved and serving God. Ain't like that. Things just getting out of control. We got to have some calm. So they took Peter and John and they arrested them. Took them in the back room and said, hey boys, you stood up and preached the gospel. People's being saved, they say. Whose name are you preaching in? Allow us to tell you. We're preaching in the name of Jesus, who you crucified, who was buried, and who was raised again the third day. They looked at him and said, bless God, don't you teach us in the name of Jesus ever again. We don't want to hear it. And Peter got filled up with the Holy Ghost, and he said, neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He preached to them anyhow. Let me tell you what, when you hang out with Jesus, there'll be some supernatural works take place. Preacher, what you talking about? I'm talking about there'll be people getting saved. Have you been saved? How did you get it? You was hanging out with Jesus, amen? Came to the foot of the cross and called on His holy name and He forgave you and saved your soul, amen? There's no salvation. Hey, did He give you a testimony? Has He given you the ability to go out and witness and tell others? Where did you get that? You got that hanging out with Jesus. You hear about what happened for my wife? Glory, hallelujah. You know where that come from? The healing that took place there? The reason it was no worse than it was? Jesus. I'm telling you what, you look around this church, now I look at these pews being filled, your smiling faces, God has blessed you and blessed you and blessed you, and the reason He has is somebody has been hanging out with Jesus and there's been some supernatural things taking place in this church. And the devil is mad and I am glad. Glory, hallelujah. He lost that soul that he thought he had. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. And they can't say nothing about it. Listen. There ain't a whole lot you're going to say when 37 gets saved at one time. When 23 gets saved at one time. When one gets saved at one time. There ain't a whole lot you're going to say again, people being saved and being stirred by the power of God. The second thing you'll get when you hang out with Jesus is you'll start using some scriptural words. The Bible says in verse 15, but when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. Don't you ever, they said, mention His name again. Or else. But Peter and John, remember, two unlearned, ignorant fishermen, they answered them and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Let me say the religious leader saying, we threaten you not to speak in Jesus' name, sounds like the United States of America. no longer can you pray in school. Or else, no longer can you take the Bible and read verses in school. Or else, no longer can the Ten Commandments be exhibited in the courthouse. Or else, you see what's going on here? It's a shame what's happening in our country. And if our country, which was founded on the Word of God, based upon the principles of the Word of God, of the Scriptures, if our country, as blessed as she has been, could turn her back on the Lord, it is just possible that some churches could turn their back on the Lord. Not give Him the glory for the supernatural works, but begin to say, look what we've done. Look at this beautiful building. Look what we've done. Look at this beautiful property. Look what we've done. Listen to the sound of the choir. Look what we've done. Listen to the individual singers. What talent they have. Look what we've done. Boy, that preacher, he sure does mesmerize us with his words. Look what he's done. You hear me? It is not about you. It is not about the preacher. It is about Jesus Christ and Him only. And if the nation can turn against the Lord, a church could turn against the Lord. And so you stand warned. Peter and John said, you know what? We used to deny and we used to run, but we cannot but help speak the things which we have seen and heard. Listen to this. A man or a woman that's been with Jesus can't help but talk about Him. You're going to want to talk about Him all the time. I have a friend from years gone back and told his wife, said, I don't really feel comfortable with Darren coming over here anymore. All he wants to do is talk about Jesus. He's a Jesus freak. Greatest compliment I was ever paid. A Jesus freak. Just talk about Jesus all the time. In fact, they'd been with Jesus, and when he got out amongst the crowd, he talked about the Scriptures too. You remember, he stood up there and preached to thousands at one time. This is what he said. Peter says, listen, you remember John, what he said? He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Peter said, yeah, John, I remember I told him, Lord, you have the words of eternal life. You remember there where he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. Jesus made this statement, didn't he, John? John would say, oh yeah, you tell him, Peter. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. Peter and John said, listen, we've been with Jesus. We can't but help talk about the things which we've seen and heard. We heard him when he proclaimed those words. We took them to heart and believed them. We remember the time when they brought all the sick folk, the whole community. We remember when they brought all those that were filled up with devils. The book of Matthew, chapter number 8. We remember that the whole community came out. Those filled with devils and those that were diseased. They all came to Jesus. We stood there and watched this and said, we've never seen a hospital so full. We've never seen enough doctors to help this many people. And Jesus, one by one, dealt with each and every issue. What's Matthew 8:16? When the even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with His Word. Amen. He cast them out with His Word and healed all that were sick. They said, we can't but help tell about Jesus. With His words, we must speak His words. With His words, He cast out devils. With His word, He cast out all the disease. We're going to proclaim the word of the Lord. Hey, church, you know what y'all teach in your Sunday school class? Jesus. You ought to teach the Scriptures. You ought to teach His Word. You know what you ought to read when you get home? It ain't the newspaper. It's His Word. Amen. His words are spirit and they are life. Amen. Let me say the third thing that I see in their life. Found down here in verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Hey, where did they go when they were let go? Where did they go? Did they go back out to the world? Did they say, hey, we need to go to Walmart? We know they're having church tonight. We've been in prison a few days, and we got some need for milk and bread. Weather forecasts don't look good. I reckon it'd be all right since we've had a hard time to skip out on the service they're having at church, and we're going to Wally World. Hello? That's not where they went. They didn't go back out to the world. They went back to their own company. Who's that? The believers. The church. Listen, separation became their walk. They weren't walking with the world. They were walking with the Spirit. They weren't walking with the things of the world. They wanted to walk with Jesus. Hey, what kind of walk do you have? Now, they said, we remember. We were with Jesus when He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We remember there in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Peter and John were with Jesus. Listen, they took knowledge of them. They'd been with Jesus. They were with Jesus. We remember a walk of separation. There in Matthew chapter 14, man, we were in a storm that night. We'd been walking with the Lord. We'd heard Him teaching and preaching and casting out devils and healing those that were diseased. But man, I ain't never seen nothing like this night. What a storm! Man, we gave it up. We were ready. We were going down. I'm talking to somebody here. You feel like you're going down. And I'm telling you what, we looked up in the darkest hour of the storm, and we see a separated walk. We ain't never seen anybody walk like Jesus. What? You looking at me? Here He comes. That was a walk like nobody else could ever perform. And Jesus was just going to pass right on by us. And we cried out for fear. Said, it's a spirit. And He said, it is I. Be not afraid. Oh, He said, boy, what a time that Peter said. I was there. I said, Lord, if it's really You, bid me come. And my walk became separated. I stepped out of the boat. Boy, I wish I could do it. I stepped out of the boat, and I began to walk on the water. I wasn't walking like the world walks. I was walking, looking at Jesus, doing things that were impossible. I was there, Peter and John would say. You better take note of me. Oh, you're crazy. Ain't nobody. Listen, I was. John said, I saw Him. I saw Him. And to prove it to you, when he got his eyes off Jesus, you ought to see Him. Boy, he was in a mess. He began to go down in the storm. We thought, oh no, we've lost our buddy Simon Peter. He's gone forever. But we heard him scream, Lord, save me! And you know what Jesus did? He put His hand out. And he snatched him right up out of that water, and He walked him right back to the boat and got in with us. And we are safe today. I've never seen anybody walk with Jesus just like that. After all, we remember when He called us, He said, "Follow me." That means to follow after, to walk along behind. "And I will make you fishers of men." We remember He said, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You know what they're doing? After they've been persecuted, cast down, they're still following Jesus. Are you still willing to follow Jesus when the storms of life are rolling? People are threatening you, your friends feel like they've turned their back on you. It's just you and the Lord now. What you going to do? Last of all, I'm done. Verse 23, they've come back to the church. They told what's happened to them. Verse 24, what do? They began to worship our Savior. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is." You see that right there, verse 24, it says, "in one accord." That means no division. Any grudges they had, they laid them down. Any opinions they wanted to express, they laid them down. Any personal ambitions they had for their life, for their family, they laid them down and said, "God, I just want what You want." They were in one accord. They began to praise His name. Go down to verse 29. They said, "Now, Lord, behold their threatenings." Here's their prayer. "And grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word." I was sitting on the front row at the watch night service. God spoke to my heart. I ran down the altar to try to speak with Him. I know I could have spoke to Him there, but there's just something about going there. And I can't express to you. I mean, it's just like I'd been with Jesus. And He told me, He said, "You know what? What do you want?" And I said, "Lord, I just want some boldness. That's what I want. I want holy boldness. I'm not asking You to make it go away, but I'm asking You for a bigger backbone, a stronger back to carry it for Your glory." You see, when they prayed, they didn't say, "God, take away the threats." Let us say, "Just give us boldness. Let us speak Your word with boldness." What about that? You need to quit praying, "God, take it away. God, take it away." You ought to just say, "God, give me a stronger backbone. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me." The Bible says, "By stretching forth Thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child, Jesus." After they had been praising Him, and after they had prayed, the Bible says, verse 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken. What about that? Where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. What did they pray for? Boldness. What did God give them? Boldness. God shook the place, filled them with the Holy Ghost, and sent the power down. Listen, Peter and John had been with Jesus when there was a woman broken open an alabaster box and poured it on His feet. They stood there mesmerized. What's that woman doing? She began to wash His feet with that ointment, then with her tears. Then she let down her hair and began to wipe His feet with her hair. She humbled herself to worship Him. And they said, "You know what? He's the one that must be worshipped." We look back now, we didn't understand it then, but she had anointed Him for His burial. He was going to die. Peter and John said, "We were there with Him in the Garden of Gethsemane." They had been with Jesus that night. We remember Judas coming and the religious leaders and arresting Jesus. We remember how it was an agony. We remember His sweat becoming as great drops of blood. We watched with anguish as they carried Him away out of our company. We were brokenhearted. And you know what we did? We ran and scattered ourselves out of fear. We came there. Peter said, "I did." When they were there accusing Him, he said, "I had a cuss fit and denied Him three times." John said, "I'll go you one more. I actually went to the crucifixion. I was with Jesus when He was crucified." John was there. Jesus looked down from the cross at His mother and said to His mother, "Behold thy son." Not saying, "Look at me," but "Look at John as just His mother. Home with me. from that very hour. He had been with Jesus when Jesus died. He saw the Lamb of God's blood being shed for his sin and for my sin. He saw that. He had been with Jesus. He said, I saw him when they buried him and rolled a stone in front. And when word came on the first day of the week that the stone was rolled away, we could hardly believe our ears. Jesus had told us he would rise again. Peter said, I began to run. But John said, I was younger and I ran faster. And I got there and I seen the stone rolled away and I stopped. But Peter went right on by me because he got there second. And he went on in and he said, John, the tomb is empty. He must be alive. Peter said, I was there when he appeared to me, when he spoke to me. John said, you remember when we were gathered in the upper room there? We were afraid the Jews were threatening us. They were going to kill us. They were going to take our lives. You remember what happened there? We were, oh, what are we going to do? And through locked doors, in the middle of our religious experience, walked Jesus. He had marks, scars in his hands, in his side, in his feet. He got close enough to us, and he even breathed on us. We were there. And he said, peace be unto you. Whoo, I'm telling you, I ain't never been the same since I was with Jesus that night. We were with him 40 days later. We were walking out there towards Bethany, and he was teaching and talking to us, and all of a sudden, whoop, a cloud receives him up out of our sight. We stood there mesmerized as we were walking with Jesus, and we heard the angel say, behold, this same Jesus, which was so taken from you into heaven, and like manner as you've seen him go, he's going to come again. We've been with Jesus. Hey, church, I want to ask you something here, and I'm done. Peter and John had been with Jesus, and they said, we're going to worship him. They're doing it here in this chapter, back with the church. They're going to worship Jesus. They're praising his name. They're seeking his face in prayer. And the power of God fell. Why? They had been with Jesus before, and they knew it's in the power again. I want to tell you something, church. I love him. The night I got saved, I felt so alone when that preacher was preaching, the Holy Ghost speaking to me. I felt so isolated. I was in terror. I was in torture. But that night I ran down that altar and I bowed down there at that front row and I called on Jesus. He came and he saved me. I'd been with Jesus. There'd been a few times in my life. He's just come by. He called me to preach. And I want to tell you something, church, I worship him. And I love him. And I hope when you look at my life, you can say, you know what? Oh, Darren, I believe he's been with Jesus. Hey, the times I see it in his life. Hey, church, what about you? Hey, there are times that you say, I've been with Jesus. Jesus has been with me. Do your friends know it? Does your family know it? Hey, I got good news. He's here today. Where two or three are gathered my name, there am I in the midst. He's here today. You can say, I've been with Jesus this morning. You go out to eat after a while, I hope somebody looks at you and says, man, y'all didn't get out till so late a time. I hope you say, but it's okay. We've been with Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. You stand to your feet. Someone come to instruments, please. Peter and John, unlearned, ignorant, just a bunch of hillbillies, old fishermen that God has blessed them with an appointment with Jesus. And they believed him. They spent time with him. And some things was rubbing off of Jesus in their life. And I could prove it by their stand. Hey, I'll ask you something, church. Have you been with Jesus? Has it rubbed off on you? Maybe you ought to come thank him and say, Lord, I just want to thank you for being willing to keep company with me. I'm an old sinner. Oh, I'm unlearned and ignorant. I'm a nobody. And I want to thank you for keeping company with me. And I hope when somebody looks at my life, they'll see some Jesus in my life. That's what I want. I want people to know that I've been with Jesus. I'm telling you, if some great figure that some famous person had appeared, you'd have got their autograph. You'd have showed everybody in this church. You'd have texted people and shown them their picture and said, look who I was with last night. Boy, I'd rather be with Jesus as anybody. Praise His holy name.
God, we bow to you, Lord. We look in their lives and we see a supernatural work, God, that you've done. God, you saved us from the devil's hell. Only Jesus can do that. And Lord, as we bow this place, Lord, we know, Father, that we spend time in your Word. And spending time in your Word is rubbing off. God, it shows us how wicked we are and how holy you are. God, it gives us a craving, a desire, an ambition for the things of God. To set my affection on things which are above. God, I thank you, Father, for the precious Holy Scriptures, your Word, that we're to spend time in. I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord, wherever we go, to share your Word, to speak your Word. God, their walk was separated. They were walking, Father, in places that were heavenly places. God, I pray you'd help us realize the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Help our walk, Lord, to be a walk of separation in the midst of crooked and perverse generations. God, I pray you'd help us, God, to act like Christians, to love one another, lay down our grudges, God, and worship you as you see fit. And God, we thank you that our worship, the object of our affection, is Jesus.